If you got your Bibles, go back to Psalm chapter number 5 tonight. We'll try to finish. It's good to be here tonight. A lot to pray for this week. This morning I got a message from Sean O'Brien about Randa's daddy, and we want to pray for Roy Moles. Roy's had a stroke. He's in a real difficult way tonight, and we want to pray for him. Also, I want you to pray for Sister Sherry McKay. She's going to be having surgery tomorrow morning, and be much in prayer for her. And how many others have a spoken request or unspoken request? You got something this week you need prayer for, all right? I'll remember that in a moment. We'll have prayer. Let's look again at Psalm chapter number 5. I'm stuck, Jeremy, I'm stuck on this. I really am. It got in me this morning, and we'll leap down to verse number 7. We did an exegesis of the first 6 verses, and we'll try to do the rest of the verses tonight. I love the preacher line upon line and precept on precept. By the way, how many got a Bible tonight? Right, Evam? Now, I would ask you to follow in the scripture, because I'm preaching the Bible. Somebody help me pray. I'm not going to tell a big fancy story. I may give you an illustration or two, but I'll be honest with you. I'm going to preach God's word. Amen. Look what David said in verse number 7, and we'll go down to the end of the chapter. He said, "But as for me," now he was encompassed by his enemies, his haters, those that were wicked. He was encompassed by people that did not like him, that hated him, that wanted him dead. Notice the pressure. Notice the problem. And he talked about what God was going to do in their life. But notice what he said in verse number 7. "But as for me," thank God, "I will come into thy house, in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward the holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies." Now notice this. "Make thy way straight before my face." Oh boy. Lord, really what I want you to do, I want your will to be plain to me. Lord, I want to make my life decisions based upon a clear picture from you. Lord, really what I want you to do, I want you to drop down your will before my face, that I'll plainly see it and I'll do what you show me. How many of you believe in our culture, with so many people are outside of the will of God in their life, making choices that are not according to the word of God? Just if it feels good, do it, generation. Somebody help me preach. Let me go on. "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is a open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue." Now notice what he said about his enemies. Let me give you a little something tonight. If you have had somebody do something wrong to you, let me tell you the absolute wrong thing to do. Don't try to get vengeance. Don't try to get back at them. Don't try to go back and say, "If you did this to me, I'm going to do this to you." You know what David did? He turned them over to God. Look what he said. "Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, boy, I like this, will bless the righteous with favor, and wilt thou compass him as with a shield. This morning, we talked about David's desperate plea. He asked for God's attention. He asked for God's audience. He wanted an individual moment with God. Let me ask you tonight, how's your prayer life? The most difficult discipline I know that we have, the one that the devil fights the most, is our prayer life and our Bible life. How many say amen? Is there anybody in here the devil don't fight you when you pray? He fights you when you pray because he knows prayer touches God. Prayer turns the hand of God. Prayer turns the hand of God. Prayer moves the hand of God. Amen. Glory to God. And then I seen his design or divine persuasion on what he believed. What he believed was that God wasn't happy with sinful people. And what he believed was that God is displeased. Can I say this tonight? I saw something. I had a news flash today, Chad. I had to get something to make me half mad before I preach. In Congress now, we're going to face it in the West Virginia Congress. We already have a liberal Republican bring up the Fairness Act. Hello? But right now in the U.S. Congress, the House of Representatives, they're talking about this gender situation. And they're talking about abortion. Hello? I still believe abortion's sinful. And there was a Republican representative from Florida got up and said, I teach my boys, they're a boy, and teach my girl, she's a girl. Somebody help me preach. Now, y'all stay with me. And Representative Jerry Nadler, how many knows that little weasel? Oh, he's a weasel. And this Republican representative said, it's just not the will of God to kill babies. And it's not the will of God for a man to be able to go into a girl's restroom. Somebody help me preach. And you know what Jerry Nadler said? He said, we don't even worry about what the will of God is. I want all y'all to know this. The will of God is the most important thing that you can find in your life, and you'll never be happier outside. Hey, you'll never be happy outside the will of God. The will of God's the most important thing, the most influential thing. It's the happiest time you ever be in your life when you know the will of God in your life. Somebody help me preach. Now, I want you to notice number three tonight, and I'll try not to review too much. But I want you to notice the third thing. Look down in verse number 7. David's distinct plan. See, his definite plea was what I need. His divine persuasion is what I believe. But he said his distinct plan is what I'm going to do. In the light of my enemies, in the light of the wickedness, in light of the chaos, in light of all the crises, I want to show you what I'm going to do. Somebody help me. See what he said in verse 5 and 6, he said, I'll tell you what the wicked are going to do. And by the way, I still preach on drinking. I still preach on drug abuse. I still preach on sin. Somebody help me preach. You know what David said? He said, but as for me, I'm not going to go to wicked places. I'm not going to go to worldly places. I'm not going to go to wayward places. I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to the temple of God. I'm going to inquire of God. But as for me, now I don't know what you're going to do. Somebody help me preach. But I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to live for God. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what David said. I'm going to get me a place and find some worship. Do you know that in our world today, one of the most misused things today and most ignorant thing people don't know much about is worship. Hey, somebody help me preach. We need to find a place where we worship God and we don't have some of this worldly worship. How, somebody help me preach right there. Hey, by the way, a lot of churches today, all they're turning into is entertainment centers. Places where somebody can scratch them on the back and pat them on the back and tell them you're a real good person. I want you to know something. I know about me. I'm wicked. My flesh is weak. I need worship. I need God. I need to turn myself to Him. Am I doing all right? Amen. Notice the approached presence of God. I want to go to His temple. Thank God. Thank God. Whew. Boy, I tell you what, can I say something, y'all? I worship in more places than just this place. Y'all dying on me? Anybody else worship in other places other than this place? By the way, every once in a while in my office, I'll have me a shouting spell because I know I ain't going to have to worry y'all, and some of y'all worry about what kind of person I am. I want you to know I'll have me a shouting spell, lose my dignity a little bit. Amen. Worship. That's what he said. He said, really what worship is, listen carefully, is for me to get into the presence of God. Whew. By the way, I'm going to tell you what you find when you get in the presence of God. Look at the verse. Look at the verse. He said, but as for me, I will come unto thy house. Glory to God. Somebody write this down. In the multitude of thy mercy. Not only am I going to have an approached presence to God, but I'm going to receive abundant provisions. How many's glad? Can I ask y'all a question? How many's glad for the mercy of God? Yes, sir. Let me make it more personal. How many of you ever experienced the mercy of God? You said, what's that mean? That's not getting what you deserve. Somebody help me preach. The Bible said in Lamentations 3, this I recall in my mind. Therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great! Great! Is thy faithfulness. I'm glad when you get in the presence of God. Let me tell you where you get. You get into a place of mercy. It doesn't matter how sorry you are, how slothful you are, how sinful you are, how stubborn you are, how stiff-necked you are, you ever get in the presence of God, thank God that He'll show you mercy. Man, I'm about to get happy. I'm about to get thrilled. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. Because been a few times. How many can amen this? We've all been out of the will of God. We've all done some flip-flop decisions that were about half ignorant. Anybody here ever done something ignorant? The rest of you are a bunch of liars. Somebody help me preach. But God, how many times has God, when I got into His presence, when I deserve judgment, when I deserved his anger, when I deserved him to say something ugly to me. Whoop. Whoop. He loved me. He showed me mercy. He was long-suffering to me. He was kind to me. What a God we serve. He's not like the world. He loves. He's kind. He's benevolent to his children. Whew, glory. Look at verse 7. Stay with me. He said, lead me, O Lord, into thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Let me go back to verse 7. Excuse me. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of mercy. Listen, and in thy fear, what, Jeremy? Will I what? In thy fear, will I what? Wash up. Here's what the word fear means there. Awe. Awe. Let me give you a good West Virginia word for fear. Wow. Hey, we got a thrice holy God. We've got a God whose thoughts is above our thoughts and his ways are above our ways. And I want you to know something. When we come in his presence, we come with fear and awe at his wonderful mercy and his wonderful grace. What a God we serve. Whew. Hey, he cares about you. The world might not care about you. Your enemies might like to eat you up. But I got a God that loves you and cares about you and is benevolent to you. Boy, Lord God. How many think it's good to brag on Jesus? Amen. Now notice this. Now notice this. Absolute praise. Whew. Man, oh man, oh man. Y'all with me? He says, and in fear will I what? Worship. I want you to know something. We don't do much of this. Well, I might quieten you down a little bit. I'll tell you what we do too much of is man praise. Well, that preacher hit it out of the park. That singer sure got talent. I want to tell you something. You hear me? Singing is supposed to point you to Jesus. And if it points you to your flesh and all you get is a little fleshly tingle, that singing didn't do you any good. And if preaching don't take you toward Calvary and take you toward Jesus, that preaching's not doing you much good. Somebody say amen. I tell you what God wants. He wants praise from us. Let me ask you something. How often are you praising? And I'm talking about just, not because he done something for me. He does something for me all the time. Just praise him for who he is. Man, just before church, I went up my office and had a little bit more time with God and prayed. And I tell you what I done. I just said a few words to God, then I just started worshiping him and praising him. I praised him for 89 things in a row. You said, what were all them things? I just praised him for his goodness, praised him for his mercy, praised him for his long suffering, praised him for his kindness, praised him for his love, praised him for how he loves on my family, praised him that he's never left me or never leave me nor forsake him. I just worshiped him. Boy, what a God we got. Oh, we ought to praise him. I will worship. They may go to hell. They may act like hell. They may live like a devil. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to worship God. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Hear me. I'm going to worship when I'm broke. I'm going to worship when I'm under attack. I'm going to worship when I'm frustrated. I'm going to worship when I'm lied about. I'm going to worship when I'm not understood. I'm going to worship when I'm tired. I'm going to worship when I'm confused. What David said, he had indicated a determination. I will. Let me ask you something. Is your worship only based upon your circumstances, or is your worship based upon Him? If I waited till I was always feeling good, I wouldn't worship a minute. Somebody say amen. But my worship is on Him. Whew, glory to God. I see an imperative direction toward His holy temple. It's not how your body is facing. It's where your focus is. I'm going to ask you something. Where's your focus tonight? Is it on Him? Is it on Him? Or is it on your enemies? On the world? Hey, this world, how many agree with me? This world's a mess. And we can't fix this world. But I got a God that, hey, He takes care of His children. Let me give you another thought tonight. Number four. Look at verse number 9. I'll try to hurry. Dear Lord, His definite persecutors. Look at verse number 9. He starts talking about the people that hated Him. And by the way, it's not as much people hate you personally. They just hate what you stand for. They hate your God. They hate morality. They hate truth. Look what He said about them. There's no faithfulness in their mouth. They have faithless mouths. And then look on. Somebody help me, follow me. Their inward part is very wicked. They have faulty motives. There's a lot of people got some bad motives. Got a faithless mouth. Then look at him. They had fumy, I call it fumy makeup. Look at this. Their inward part is very wicked. Their throat is an open sepulcher. You know what he said? A lot of these busybody gossip heathens got a graveyard in their mouth. Well, can I stop a minute? We need to be weary, and we need to live right, and we don't need to be gossipers. Why is it that a lot of independent Baptists kick those that are hurting and those that are down, and we never give anybody a second chance? Somebody help me preach. I want you to know something. You better thank God that He's not like we are. Somebody help us. There's some folks that absolutely live like a devil, and they gossip and they're angry and they're bitter. That's what he was talking about. Talk about his persecutors. Y'all still with me? They had flattering mannerism. How many have anybody here ever had somebody try to flatter you? By the way, I'm real nervous when people start flattering me, because I know what's coming next. How many's ever talked real flattering about you, and the next moment they went behind your back and stabbed you? Somebody help me. Is it getting quiet in here? Start telling you how lovely and wonderful you are, and then the next minute they're behind your back and they stab you in the back. I want you to know something. That ain't the way a good Christian should live. Amen? And that's what David was talking about, his talking about his enemies and his persecutors. Then here's his longing cry. God, here's what I want you to do. Look at verse 10. God, I want you to do this. Destroy thou them. Now, I ain't supposed to leave without a mask. Come here, Dan. I'll let you come up here. I ain't picked on you for a while. You ever get somebody that aggravates you, and what you'd like to do is just grab them right here? Huh? Anybody ever feel like that? No, not y'all. Y'all's too godly. You ever do that? How much ever wanted to do that? Just jerk a knot in somebody's tail. My mama used to tell me that. That's where I got that. But you want God? You want David done? Say, God, I'm not going to get revenge. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm going to let you take care of them. How many believe we'd be a lot better Christians if we wouldn't worry about what's happened to us 10 years ago and still angry about what somebody's done to us and we're bitter and we live our life like that, when God, all we got to do is just turn them over to God, because God, vengeance is mine. He said, I will repay. Yes, that's good preaching. Yes, then notice this. Not only his sovereign dealings, but their own self-destruction. By the way, you give a rotten apple enough time, I want you to know they'll hang their own self. Amen. And his supreme discharge, he'll cast them off. Now I want to finish, and I'm done. I want you to look at verse 11, 12, and I'll be done. I want you to notice a detailed petition. How I'm going to deal in my life. Look at verse number 11. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. But let all those that put their trust in thee, what? Somebody say it, church. What? A sincere request. A consecrated people. They put their trust in him. That's a dependent conviction. But thank God, they shall shout for joy. Woo! Hallelujah. Because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. They had a devoted compulsion. They loved thy name. Then notice a consequential pleasure. Had a joyful shout, a joyful sentiment. How many remember last week's sermon by Brother Gibbs? Come on now. How's your joy? We need to have some people that have a joyful sentiment, a joyful sound. We got too many people that look like they've been baptized three times, faith first, in pickle juice. Somebody help me preach. We need to have some joy about us. That's what David said. He said, I got a joyful sound. I got a joyful sentiment. Well, see, joy don't have anything to do with what's happening out there. It has everything to do with how you and him are. I'm done. And then I want you to notice in verse 12, a stabilizing reassurance. I want everybody to look at this. This helps me. He said, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. Can I ask y'all a question before we go home? You're going to be home before I'm going to quit early. How many of y'all realize God's extended blessings to you? Somebody help me. I say by my assistant pastor. I love him. God's blessed you, Eddie. Got his fourth child this week. I was wanting to ask you a theological question about that. Is your quiver full yet? When he goes like this, you know what that means? Uh-uh. Can I ask you something? How many of you have God blessed you with a good job, a good home, a good family? Come on, help me preach right here. A husband that loves you, children that you care about. Somebody help me preach. Thank God for his extended blessing. Boy, I want to tell you, he looked beyond all of our fault and saw our needs. I'm trying to close. His eligible behavior, his favor toward us. He said, but thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. Listen to this. With favor. You know, God don't want you to think you had to go up the ladder. He'll take you up the ladder. God will promote you. God will show you favor. God will bless you. I tell you what, I look at my life, and God has brought so many people in my life. God has brought so many things in my life to benefit me and bless me and help me. Glory to God, I'm about to take a run around this place. But notice the last one, Jeremy. It's the one I had my little spell on a little while ago. Notice this. But thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor. Notice this. Wilt thou compass him as with a shield? That's an encircling boundary. Well, glory. I'm going to try to illustrate this. If I can. Come here, Grant. Come here, Stan. Come on, Dorsal. Come here. Hurry. I'm going to show you all this. I'm going to show you. Come on. Come here, Bill. I want to show you something. It said, God is encompassing me. Come here. Get around me. I ain't got the virus. Y'all be all right. Here. Here's what he got. He got me walled in with blessings. Where are you going? He got me walled in with grace. He got me walled in with mercy. I can't look, but I look over here, there's God. I look around, there's God. Looking for him, there's God. Somebody help me preach right there. Thank you, boys. I want you to know something. God encompasses you. That means he protects you. That means he defends you. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to fix your own problems. You got a God who'll do it. Now I'm done. I've said that 3 times. I wonder how many tonight will make this prayer, David's prayer, your prayer. Lord, make thy way straight before my face. I want to do what you want me to do. I don't want to goof up. I want to finish well. And I want you to make it clear. I wonder how many people in this room has a decision to make or has something on your heart and you got something you need God to intervene on. Would you come up this, around this altar and say, God, make straight on my face your will, what you want me to do. That's right, kid. Just come on. You don't have to wait. Stand with me. If God spoke to you, said, boy, I want it clear. I want God's will. Come on, just keep coming. Everybody ought to just come on. Our Father, thank you tonight for your blessings toward us. Lord, help us tonight as folks are coming all the house and bless now. In Jesus' name. Hammer, come on, keep coming.